Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm here at the pro athlete community in Phoenix. And if I look like the smallest guy here, that's usual. I got Big Ben next to me, Ben Garland here, 11-year NFL vet, an Air Force guy. Thank you for your service as well. Appreciate it. Pouring into the community with mental health advocate, which awesome. Is super important to me. We'll get into where we are today and how we can fix this crisis of mental health. And I know all four of us are doing our best to help people have the right mindset.
Absolutely.
Which is absolutely aligned with mental health. And of course, Ron Cole right here next to me. He's the president at Pronghorn.
Yes, Pronghorn.
And looking forward to learning more about Pronghorn and how you're pouring into this community
absolutely.
As well. And then the amazing Anthony Tolliver in the end here. Obviously, former NBA superstar, in my opinion. He calls himself a player, but that's an understatement. Co-founder and partner at Athlegacy. And we were talking about what is this legacy. And I'm going to start there because I'm at the stage of my life. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And my legacy is how am I helping other people to leave something behind? Where originally, I thought my legacy would be what I left behind.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows my mission of empowering over a billion people, my legacy has reached a point where I want to know what you guys are leaving behind and how I can be of assistance to what you're leaving behind. So I'm going to start with you, Anthony, at the end. Obviously aligned in legacy. What does legacy mean to you in this stage of your life?
Very blessed and fortunate to be able to use a sport like basketball to put me and my family in a position financially to be able to focus on others. So, you know, what legacy means to me and to be at 40 years old and already have this mindset is a blessing. Such a blessing to be able to really be able to focus on, okay, what am I leaving behind? What's important to me? So, you know, first and foremost, you know, legacy to me is not just about money. It's not about what you leave behind financially. It's more about core values. It's more about the things that you're teaching your kids, how they treat people, and how your family is viewed in the world. To me, that's legacy. To being able to build up our family foundation, to be a multi-generational foundation, to give, to be a foundation focused on being the hands and feet of Jesus. Doing all kinds of
awesome
things all around the world, not just in the United States.
Yep.
Taking my kids to Africa this summer to check out some water wells and stuff that they actually raise money for. And so that's legacy to me. Like that, to be able to teach our kids and teach the next generation that it's bigger than you. Bigger than you. If God blesses you with money or possessions or a gift, your job is not to just use it for yourself. Your job is to use it for the betterment of other people. That's legacy.
That's awesome. And
that's awesome.
I've been blessed to be part of the Unstoppable Foundation in Kenya and take those trips every other year with my whole family.
Wow.
Nothing will change or empower your children more than allowing them to engage when you go over to Africa, especially with young women. I have three daughters and a son, but changing their life. One of the things that Anthony mentioned, Ron, is something that people don't think about when they think about wealth or legacy, which is social wealth.
Yeah.
Right. And when we're dealing with athletes, social wealth is really important. Health wealth is obvious. Financial wealth is normal. Understanding wealth. But, you know, even to the blue zones where they used to think it was the environment, the water, the food in these certain areas where people live the longest and healthiest, they've actually found that the reason they live longer is because of social wealth. Community.
Yeah.
That's what this is about here as well. So, Ron, I was wondering how, for you, your legacy beyond the financial and health wealth, in that social aspect as well, because you do so much with your company as well to help enforce and to empower.
No, absolutely. I think, and you said it best, from a personal perspective, one, I'm a believer. I believe in trying to live the right way. Doesn't mean I get it right, because I get it wrong a lot. Each and every one of us do. But if we get a chance to spread the good news to other people and to bring people along, we're doing some great things. And then obviously being a dad and a husband, there's a number of things within that. Specifically for me, I've always just had this innate belief that there's goodness and greatness in everybody.
Because there's God in everyone.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right? And sometimes people just have such a hard time unlocking it and finding it.
Good.
Sometimes they run from it. They know what it is, but it's not flashy. It's not something that someone to give you a gold star for, but I believe if I can help you find it, that would be great. And I think community is a great way to bring that about. So the company I manage, Pronghorn, we invest in entrepreneurs, right? And we invest in entrepreneurs within underrepresented communities, strictly due to the fact that capital is hard to find for folks that might look like me or I might look like somebody else.
Yeah.
But what a great community we have built in investing in 40 different brands in the alcohol beverage space, helping them grow, and then helping the ecosystem of all the employers in that space also find inclusive talent to drive leadership. And what I find in all of that is the authenticity of small brands led by inclusive, diverse founders taps into community and celebration and ways of bringing people together. That is an unlock and a superpower. Mm. And then bringing these entrepreneurs together to learn from each other, to talk to partners, to help mentor and incubate them, again, is community empowering the whole,
yep.
Right? And so for me, that's an exciting thing. I think about it. I used to be, I'm an athlete. I mean, I may not look like one like these guys, right? I didn't play professionally, but I played I played basketball in college. My son's a Division I athlete. The community of people for mental, social good, all the things that come together to help these kids and people grow and flourish, you can't do it without community. And it's exciting to be a part of PAC and to see it because I didn't even know this existed. And now I get a chance to be a part of it. It's awesome.
It is awesome. And, you know, underrepresented entrepreneurs in an area. I started Meltzer Funding, which is bridge capital for women and women of color.
Yeah.
Because for me, the greatest atrocity in entrepreneurship is less than, literally, unless you graduate Stanford, less than 2% of women and women of color get capital.
Yeah. Mm.
Like compare, and they're actually, we've had the data now for so long, they're the best investment.
Absolutely.
Underrepresented communities are the best place to put your dollars. They give the biggest return on investment. And, you know, the only color that I see with underrepresented community is green.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where I make my money.
You know what's crazy is a quick stat. The latest I looked, within VC world, 0.4% of all the capital goes to African-American communities. 1.3% goes to the Hispanic community.
Oh.
So almost 40% of the population, 35 to 40% of the population gets less than 2% of the dollars. And that is one of the fastest ways. Own your own company. Building equity, which I'm sure you're going to talk about here in a second, but like that is the pathway. And so empowering those communities, teaching them, standing beside them, watching them fail, watching them succeed, man, it's a great legacy to live.
Well, it's a great community and a sub-community up here on the stage and led by the big guy over here, Ben Garland. You make great investments into community, great legacy person as well. So as we're all discussing this idea of social wealth, financial wealth, and health wealth, one of the areas that you're primarily focusing on is mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a whole nother legacy I think we all need to help, especially our children with. Give me an idea of how important it is and what you're doing today to help with these, you know, it is truly a pandemic or an epidemic of mental health.
I think mental health is absolutely vital because you mean talk about when I was a kid, I thought, okay, money's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, me too.
And then I got money.
That didn't get me very far.
I
made a lot of it and I lost it all.
Then I got money and I was like, okay, time is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Then I started traveling and you're in places like Hawaii and then you're like, you can be in Hawaii and if you're worried about your taxes or your family or stressed about something, what matters is really your attention, your mindset, and your mental health. So getting that changes absolutely everything. And it's such a massive improvement. You want to talk about a legacy? You help somebody with their mental health, that improves every day of their life.
Right.
And then not only does it touch them, but the secondary and tertiary effects of their energy and what they bring to other people, you have a whole magnitude on the entire planet. So one of the things that we're working on now is I'm working with my incredible sister, Dr. Jessica Kirby, and what she's done at UCCS, helping build cultures, helping build businesses where it's better mental health. And now she's working with one of my former teammates, Monty Ball, on developing a coaching program for the coaches on athletics, because you got to start at the top for the culture. And there's so many athletes that struggle with mental health, as you've obviously seen in the news lately. But going to the place where you can train a coach to actually help him develop a better culture, so it's a better mental health aspect for all the athletes, how many lives will they touch? Because you know for a fact how many lives these athletes impact just within their families, within their communities. So that's one of the things we're working on now, and I am excited to be a part of it.
And I'm excited you're leading the way there. You know, we were talking about what we can do to empower the future generation. We all have kids that we're working with, and we know the future lies. I always say Chris Gardner is a good friend of mine. He wrote Pursuit of Happiness, and he travels to 2,000 schools virtually or in person a year. And he's like, our bench is deep, man, but we got to teach these kids certain simple things. And one of my favorite lessons that I've learned is the simple things to do are simple not to do. So I'm always doubling down on gratitude, because saying thank you, for example, in my house is mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, same thing. It's 0.1 seconds and it's free.
That's right.
I remind every kid that, and it will have the greatest impact on your life. And so as I'm focusing in on these children, we talked about AI. I believe kids need to read because that helps them determine, one, what's real and what's fake.
That's right.
By reading, but it also develops the imagination. And you never will overachieve your own imagination or your own self-image. And so what's happening, a lot of the kids aren't reading, and it's like you trying to be a great basketball player without ever shooting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right. Without an imagination, how can you be a great student, a great entrepreneur, a great parent? And they're underdeveloping their imagination and self-image. And then the last one, and we're all going to touch on, you can pick one of the three. I believe, and maybe it's my background, I believe if we're really going to empower our kids to be successful, you got to send them out to knock on doors, whether it be for charity, sell Skittles, Girl Scout cookies. That's going to be a lost art.
Like
my kids, I said, they're like, Dad, how we want to be successful in business. I said, then knock on 150 doors a day for a year. You'll be amazingly prepared in anything that you do to learn to interact, cold call like that.
That's
so I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to start back this way to Ben and go down around to you.
Yeah.
Pick one, two, or three of those. If our mission here is to pour back into the community, because all four of us have been blessed, is it AI? What combo do you think is important for the next generation? And if so, how best do you think we can teach them? For example, send them out to knock on 150 doors is my solution for that area. But what can we do in AI, reading, or cold calling to help these kids? Or think of something else.
I think you nailed it. I think a lot of aspects that involve our suffering is interpersonal relationships. And it can be literally just the fear of like, I'm afraid to go talk to this girl, so I never do.
Oh, or that's my son.
Yes. And,
and he looks like his mom, so he's going to have an easy. I had a reason to sell.
but if you're finding those places and you're developing that courage and you're not afraid to fail or be rejected, man, just getting out of your comfort zone, like you said, whether it's in sales, whether it's just talking to a random person on the street, building that ability to communicate and connect with a ton of people, I think that will take you miles and miles. But it starts with practice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter
everything,
if you're,
right?
So you're in a grocery store, you talk to the random stranger, talk to that old man, talk to the pretty girl, learn to develop that communication and not be afraid of being rejected. Like so many times we don't do it because you're like, man, they don't want to talk to me.
Right.
When in reality, we all want to be seen, want to be noticed, want to be connected, want to talk to, and community is so vital. So I think developing the skills of communication, interpersonal relationship, how much is that going to help benefit your life, your ability to develop businesses, your ability to be successful, personal relationships, business relationships, life's all about it.
Healthy mental
perspective.
How good do we feel when we talk to someone that's positive?
Oh, man.
Right? You know.
Absolutely.
Even talking to someone negative, we can still have better interaction and learn from that person what we shouldn't do or not to do. Ron, there's AI.
Yeah.
Other things that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Give me some ideas on how we can empower these kids.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I do with my daughter.
Yeah.
Right. So I've got two children. My son's, he's a freshman in college. My daughter's 15. She's dyslexic. Amazing, amazing. You'd never, ever know it. But school just isn't her thing, right? Like she's doing great. We've got her the right help, everything else. So here's one of the things we do, because I believe that interpersonal skills is the one for me. I think AI, maybe we'll come back to it or not, but like, yes, we all need to be figuring it out because it's the internet in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So if you learn it now, who knows what you can create? But we make her order takeout. So if we go to order some food, we want to go pick up a pizza.
Yeah.
We go no DoorDash, no apps, pick up the phone and call. And she hates it.
Oh, nice.
Hates it. But guess what? You're not going to eat unless you're the one who calls. And so she's gotten into a habit now of literally, and every parent can do this.
Yep.
pick up the phone. You want something? Pick up the phone and call somebody. And then they get on and what do I have to say? You say hello.
It's so true.
You're calling the pizza shop. You're going to order a pizza. But it's like shocking for them because they're like, why can't we just DoorDash it?
Yeah.
Right? So that's a small thing. But honestly, what's behind it is you have to learn how to communicate. And the thing that she's learned the most, being dyslexic and being on an IEP, whatever it may be in school, is her teachers always say she advocates for herself so well. And so we attribute that and we say, you know how when you advocate for yourself and you have to speak, it's the same thing in the world, right? You're doing it there because you really need it and you've gotten used to it. So now let's get used to interacting with people.
So smart. I've never heard that. That's awesome. Too bad my kids are getting older. I got one 16-year-old. I got to make him call when I get home.
You got to make him call.
I'm not going to tell him. He's going to hate you if I tell him who taught me that. But
yeah,
that's
it's
fine.
All right. It's all right.
We're good. All right, Anthony.
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm a true believer in, and we were obviously talking about it before this even started, was this next generation has to know AI.
Yeah.
I mean, they just absolutely have to know AI. And I love the idea you came up with is like, hey, create, you know, a little community of other parents who are in the same exact position. There's no difference. Like, they all know this.
That's right.
We all know this. And just kind of, hey, bring in a teacher and have you know, maybe once a week or a couple times, whatever it may be. But to me, it is going to be such a huge piece of the future. And, you know, people are talking about, oh, it's going to replace all these people. It is going to replace some.
Right. Yeah.
So did all machines. So did the Industrial Revolution.
The gas lamp.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things that replaced a lot of people. What happened? Right. The people who learned how to use it became very valuable.
Right.
And so if our kids are, so this is the combo that I think is the crucial part, understanding and knowing AI and understanding and knowing how to communicate and interact with people. Because I think there's going to be a subsection of people or kids who only know how to DoorDash, mm-hmm. who only know how to Airbnb and only know how to interact with the screen. Those people aren't going to know how to interact with people. And that's going to be really hard. Now, they might be really good with AI.
Right.
But if they don't know how to interact with people, I think that that's going to discount their value in the world.
Absolutely.
To be able to do both. Right. So that's where my focus is going to be on our kids and has been on our kids is, hey, we're going to have a well-rounded kids that can do both.
Right.
That can now interact with, understand AI, understand where the world's going technologically. But then also be able to order a pizza.
That's right.
Still be able to say, hey, one of the things we're doing as our kids become, you know, teenagers is a mandatory thing in our house is going to start a business.
Right.
Well, how do you start a business? Well, you have to interact with people because those are going to be your customers.
Right.
And I'm gearing them more towards the physical labor businesses because then you really have to. Now, drop shipping company, you don't really have to deal with people.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
But a car detailing business, I have to go get the keys from a person and have a handshake and have a smile.
That's right.
And these things that it's going to be a lost art for a lot of these kids who aren't,
for sure.
whose parents aren't intentional about making sure that they know how to communicate.
Right.
Because if our kids know how to do both, hey, I can work with the AI and I can maximize my business with the AI, but then I can also go shake a person's hand and look them in the eye.
That's right.
That person, that kid, and those people in the future are going to be the CEOs. Those are going to be the high level people who bring the most value.
So true. In fact, most people don't know when I got hired to run Lee Steinberg, the most notable sports agency in the world. It wasn't because I was a great lawyer or a great sports agent. It was because I was the only one that Lee met that had a very high end experience as a technologist. You know, I'd been a C-level executive you know, at Westlaw, EveryPath, Middleware, Samsung, and venture capital.
Yeah.
And in the early 2000s, before some of you guys were born, he saw the future in sports and venture capital and technology. The one lesson I learned in 1992 when I left law school and got into technology was that everybody was afraid of it the same way they are AI.
That's right.
In fact, Justice Scalia, I sold legal research online. We ended up exiting in 95 for $3.4
billion.
Wow.
That's a lot in 1995.
That's a
lot. But Justice Scalia,
right now.
When I showed him Westlaw, he said to me, nobody Mr. Meltzer, and I repeat, nobody will ever do research on a computer. You need both. That's not that long ago, right? Wow. 1992. And that's the leading legal scholar of our country on the Supreme Court. And that taught me the lesson that as technology grows and changes, people will always resist it. But right. The key to technology is it's really here to make humans more human.
Yeah.
So you need to have, just like alcohol, right, will amplify the good or the bad of who you are, money. Like, it just shows more of who you are.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what technology really will do. So if you have these great personality skills, it's going to amplify that with AI as well. Coming into the last topic, to get to where all three of you are, you have to be extremely disciplined and determined. I always say I've been around the biggest billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers in the world. Common denominator, a desire that they must be what they can be, and they are consistent with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't quit. They're determined and disciplined. But the truly successful people have a different component, an added component, which is called devotion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. You know, I coach a lot of people. They're so busy working, they forget to make money. They're so busy working, they forget to spend time with their family. They're so busy working, they forget to spend time on their health, and they end up a disaster, even though they're disciplined and determined. If you're not devotional, if you're not disciplined, determined in a divine direction,
mm-hmm.
not what other people want, what's missing with social media, but a divine direction, you're not going to get to where you want to be or better. I want to know from each of you your own personal relationship with divine direction over your obvious determination and discipline that almost got you to where you wanted to be or better. But I know devotion must have had a key component added on to that.
Absolutely.
We'll start with you, Ron.
Sure. So a couple of things. First off, is nothing that any of us could have achieved or will achieve without the grace of God. It's at least that's my belief.
Absolutely.
Right? And I wake up every morning and I try my best. I don't always do it. I try my best to. I open up my Bible app or I go get a Bible. I read something that's uplifting about what we believe our purpose is here, to learn, to serve, to grow, and to share with other people how blessed we have been and by whom we are blessed.
Mm.
It comes to life in so many ways in our lives, right? And the biggest thing that I have to remind myself to do is I do a vision board every year. My wife forces it. You know, it's like January 3rd, right? Everybody stop what you're doing. We're getting pieces of paper. We're getting a board and you're going to do your vision board. And the last 2 years, I've gotten much more intentional. And now I literally built an AI agent where all I do is log things. I go into my phone, I go log. Worked out 4 out of 7 days this week. It captures it and it goes back to my goals and it tells me every month and reminds me, are you on track? Are you off track? Et cetera. One of those goals is always to deepen my faith, right? And so my wife and I do something every Saturday morning. There's this thing called Bible Optics. Check it out on YouTube. It's just a man in Atlanta. And we go and it's our time. And it's different than going to church. It's different than doing anything else. But man, it resets everything. And we just really try to do our best with our kids and the people around us to always keep that top of mind.
That's amazing. Can you see over me okay?
Again.
I said we can see over me. All right.
Oh. That's
great. How about you? I know you're inspirational, but also in your own divine direction.
I think honestly, helping others has helped me so much. And you learn that so much through whether it's my military background, a service force self with the Air Force or within the church. My dad was a pastor. I think helping others and how much that's helped me grow. I mean, you want to learn a subject, teach it.
Yeah,
for sure. And then that connection and that when you're actually helping another person, like come along, you learn it so much more. You get that oxytocin release, that serotonin. And those days where you're tired, but you're like, no, I already said I'd help them out. Like, it allows you to force it. Cause you're like, you know, I already said I'm going to do it. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. And then you also have that as aspects of like, hey, if I'm teaching, I better do it right. So you really try to hone your skills, really go into those fundamentals. And then you're like, dang, I got way better than I even helped them. And it actually improved me and helped me so much. And I love that we are designed.
That's right.
Like, there's so many aspects as a human being where when you help someone, you literally get a chemical reaction in your brain of oxytocin, of like that connection. Like, we are made to serve. We are made to help. We are made to teach. And I think that's why you learn more when you teach. Like, this way we're built.
It's so good. And getting coaches, teachers, and mentors will speed up the process from A to B. But I tell everybody, because I do that so often, I'm like, I'm good at this. But in order for you to get from A to B, it's a private lesson between you and God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
I'm not going to get you there.
That's
I can speed up the process, but it's going to take you and your relationship with God to get you from A to B. Anthony, for you, I know divinity and divine direction, that plays an integral role. What are some of the things that you do maybe as advice or suggestions to the community?
Yeah, I mean, just going back to what you said, discipline and determination can get you pretty far. I think there's a lot of successful people who have those two things that have achieved success, what most people deem as success. But we have all seen many, many times, like you said before we even got started, there's so many successful people.
Tiger Woods, who are
absolutely
Tiger was the most
miserable.
Disciplined, determined athlete I've ever met.
Yeah.
Ever met. He's the most disciplined, determined athlete I've ever met. You can see it in his eyes, but he's not on a divine direction.
Right.
And he's lost. He's trying to fill a God-sized hole with everything but God.
So the like you said, the devotion, the purpose, right? Once I learned my purpose, the purpose of basketball. How about that?
Yeah.
Because basketball was not my identity. It wasn't, I knew that wasn't my purpose for life, but what was the purpose of the game and how did God want to use me in it? Mm. That's whenever everything unlocked. That's when the door started flying open. Is whenever I finally understood
that's awesome.
Why. I understood why I was being traded or cut every year or pushed to another team, or I was on a different team. I think my wife counted up. I think we moved 26 times in my career. 26 times.
Man.
Which for me, I'm like, God, what the heck? Every time I look up, we're moving. Every time I look up, we're moving. But it took a few years. But after a few years, I realized, I'm like, you know what? Every locker room I'm in, I'm developing relationships.
Mm.
God's using me, not even necessarily for a teammate. It might be for a staff member, right? So then it became, he has me on mission. So then it was like, I get a chance to go to another team.
That's right.
No longer, I have to go to another team. I just got traded from Phoenix to Detroit. Oh, crap.
That's right.
It ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. It ended up being the best thing that happened to my career. Develop lifelong relationships getting traded there. Well, some of these relationships are relationships I'm still, I still have from all these different locker rooms. Well, the influence that God gave me on some of the largest superstars on the planet today. Like after I left those locker rooms, they even made public comments about, oh man, his faith was so strong.
Yeah.
It made a huge impact on me and my faith. It made me look in the mirror, things like that. So after that, I was like, oh, I get it. There's purpose behind
so
this,
good.
Right? So the devotion you're talking about is, man, like just being devoted to being used by God in every single circumstance. That's it, right?
That's great.
Because we don't know, we can't control everything. The things we can control, discipline and determination, right? Like we can control the work, but we can't control what doors open, what doors close.
That's right.
The doors that close, I always said, well, that's not where God wants me. And when one would open, there'd be another team that says, hey, we want to sign you. Okay, Charlotte. Okay, Atlanta. Okay, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And I'm coming with a purpose, right? There's purpose behind it.
It's awesome.
All three of you illustrate so well that circumstances arise that look like it's punishment. I had my own when I lost everything over $100 million. I even told my mom, why is God punishing me?
Yeah.
And this is what resonated with me. She said, son, God does not punish.
Not at all.
He promotes you. He protects you. He loves you and he's perfecting you. You got to figure it out.
Mm.
And when you're telling your story, Anthony, it really resonated with me because most people from afar, when I was looking at your career, I'm like, shit, you got traded a ton. That must suck. And meanwhile, for the sake of what?
Yeah.
And now you've been protected, promoted, loved, and perfected.
That's right.
No matter what anyone else thinks, you know your definiteness of purpose.
All three
of you know it. And it's for the sake of others and having fun, which this has been extraordinary. Just to finish up real quick, I have a huge audience. I'd be amiss if I didn't have you let people know where they can reach out to you
Absolutely.
And be a part of your efforts? Ben?
You can reach out to me on Instagram, GarlandBen63.
Easy go, Ron.
Check me out on Instagram at Cole Manor, C-O-L-E-M-A-N-O-R, and check out pronghorn.co and who we're investing in and empowering.
Love it,
Anthony. Cool. And then I'm Anthony Tolliver on Instagram, so atolliver44, and our website is theathlegacy.com.
Three extraordinary entrepreneurs serving our community here at the Pro Athlete Community. I'm David Meltzer. Remember, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. God bless you. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.